Father God, I thank you for this morning's praise and worship. I thank you for the prayer time that we've just had. I thank you for the move of your spirit and the words that have been spoken. And I ask you, Lord God, that you would now bless your word as it's delivered. Lord, help me be only the vessel by which you speak to us this morning. And let your spirit, Lord, move amongst us. And let this word, Lord, penetrate our hearts and our minds. And let us realize, Lord, that this is something, Lord, that we all have to deal with at some time. And that you, Lord God, would help us to realize that with you, Lord God, we can go through every situation and trial that we face. I ask you to bless this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I'm going to talk this morning about submission and struggling. Quite evident in some of the prayers that we've all somehow experienced in the last weeks or months. Last week, Taddy spoke about the servanthood of Jesus and how his entire life was characterized by self-denial and self-sacrifice. And he did all of that for us, and that's this thing that I struggle to get our head around. He did it all for us. Jesus fervently desired a deep longing to eat the Last Supper with his disciples so that he could help them to see that he came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus' entire life and ministry was one of service to us. And now he is seated at the Father's right hand and fervently desires that we will be with him. This is so that he can see the fulfillment of God's great salvation plan. This week I am covering the same passage of scripture that I covered last Sunday night, and I was laughing with Taddy during the week, saying, that's interesting. Exact same passage, just a different from John this week, but looking at it from a totally different viewpoint, and that's a challenge in itself to do. Last Sunday night I spoke on the topic of forgiveness, and that we as believers should be willing to not only forgive but to forget, and I struggled with that this week myself. It is from the point of the struggles that we have with God that I want to look at this morning. And I want to look at it from Jesus' point of view, first of all, in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus faced massive opposition throughout his ministry. It was growing as the jealousy of the Pharisees and the religious people of the day wanted to see the end of Jesus. They wanted to see him dead. So the more his ministry grew towards its climax, the more the people wanted him dead. Last week I looked at how Jesus made the difference on the Sunday night when he healed the ear of the soldier who had it cut off by one of his disciples. And even at that point, when Jesus knows he's going to be taken a prisoner, he still calls to the Father and even permit this, that the servant's ear would be healed. Now I'm looking at the struggle that Jesus is having to face, a struggle that no one can really imagine today. I'm going to read from John chapter 18, and it's going to be the first 14 verses. Now when Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples over the brook of Kidron, where there was a garden which he and his disciples entered. And Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with his lanterns, torches, and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went before it and said to them, "Whom are you seeking?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Now when he had said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, "Whom are you seeking?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus answered, "I have told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way, that the sayings may be fulfilled which he spoke of, 'Those who you have given me, I have lost none.'" Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant's ear and cut it off. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into your sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me?" Then the detachment of troops and the captain of the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. And they led him away to Annas first, and for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. Now it was Caiaphas who advised that the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. Okay. From the prayer of preparation that I spoke about last week, from the garden where the drops of blood dripped, where the sweat dripped from his head like drops of blood, now to stand and face the mob that would drag him off. I believe in the Garden of Gethsemane was the beginning to take place, was the beginning of the sort of battle that was taking place in the heavenly places. From the Garden of Gethsemane to the cross, this was the beginning of the spiritual battle that was taking place, and the physical battle, of course, that Jesus was facing on his way to the cross. Satan had been at work. He was in the background, orchestrating everything that was taking place here. And he now, in his own belief, I think, thought that he had Jesus in a spiritual headlock. At this moment in time, Satan believed that he has brought Jesus to the point where Jesus would give up. Now, last week I spoke about forgiveness, and this week I want to speak about don't give up. The chant from Satan must have been, "Do you submit, Jesus? Do you give up, Jesus? Here is the spiritual battle at play. The struggle that I think Jesus is enduring, the spiritual wrestle is now on." And let's not forget about something here. Jesus has on many occasions overcome Satan's spiritual wrestles. From the very first spiritual wrestles and the temptations where Satan tried to get him to give up and to submit, to this in the garden, Satan has always tried to get Jesus to turn away, to give up and to submit. And each time Jesus has refused and has overcome. That traitor Judas arrived in the garden with a crowd here in John's account. He is prepared to betray Jesus that I spoke on last week. And Jesus steps forward and says openly, "Whom are you seeking?" He was not surprised by the troop that had come, and he was not surprised by what they had come to do. "Whom are you seeking?" Jesus asked. "Jesus of Nazareth," they answered. Jesus said, "I am he." The words "I am he" in the Greek can be translated meaning "I am." This, of course, you will know is a reference to "I am who I am." And this is Jesus declaring who he is. When he said this, those who came to him fell back. Was this because they were taken by surprise that Jesus had stepped forward and said, who are you seeking? They say, "Seeking Jesus of Nazareth, I am." Do they fall back in awe? Do they fall back because of the power of Jesus and his words? Or do they fall back because they simply think, "Oh my goodness, this is Jesus," and the disciples are worried that he has confessed to being Jesus instead of maybe telling a little white lie and trying to escape out of this situation? No. Jesus is standing against those who are coming to take him away. He is confronting the people who are seeking to arrest him. And he is not going to bow down or hide or cower away. He is going to do his Father's will, not Satan's will. Jesus asked them again, you think that these people are a wee bit silly, thick, or couldn't hear what was being said. Because Jesus asked them again, "Who is it that you seek?" They answer, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus said, "I am him. And if it's me you want, then let these ones go." And that was to fulfill the scripture that of those whom you gave me, I have lost none. In other words, none would be killed, hurt, or maimed at this time. And then we have Peter, and I spoke about Peter last week quite a bit, but Peter drew a sword and cut off the servant's ear. And of course, I told you that Jesus said, "If only this you permit this, let his ear be healed even at this time." And of course, it was healed. And like I said last week, the difference is that Jesus wasn't going to have a physical battle with these guys that had come with their clubs and their swords. His battle was going to be spiritual. Peter was struggling to accept this. He was struggling to understand what was going on. They were going to take his Savior and they were going to, you know, take him in chains or whatever and take him away to be tried. Jesus says this, "Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me?" Now that's a rhetorical question. He knows the answer to what he's asking. The parallel verse which I read before was, "Not my will, but yours." When the Father wills is possible. I heard that this morning in a prayer and it was great. I think it was Shirley. What the Father wills is possible. And Jesus is asking if the Father can, in the realm of his will and purpose, create a way for Jesus to avoid the cross. Shall I not take the cup that the Father has given me? Not my will, but your will. What is Jesus asking here? He's asking the Greek word translated to being wishing, desiring, and intending. If it's your wish, Father, you can take this away. If it's your desire, Father, you can take this away. If it is possible, you can take this away. And Jesus is facing a trial here beyond our human ability to understand, far beyond our concept, even something that we would struggle even to try and cope with now, to try and imagine what he was dealing with. The rhetorical question, shall I not drink from the cup my Father has given me, is the answer to obeying the Father's will. In these words, there is true submission of Jesus to the Father, submitting to him and to him only to do the Father's will. But in these words, I think that Jesus was not only submitting to the Father, but, and it is my view, that he was struggling from Gethsemane to Calvary with what he had to face and what was going to come upon him. And Jesus was arrested, he was bound, led away to be questioned by the religious leaders. At no point was Jesus submitting to the will of Satan. Because if he was going to submit to the will of Satan, he would have had to put up a fight, he would have had to defeat those that were coming out to him, he would have had to do everything that was contrary to the Father's will. He did not do that. At no point did he give up to the pressure that was upon him and the struggle that he was under. Jesus came to do the Father's will and to know it through to the very end, even though it would mean pain and suffering. Jesus faced every pain, every foul spoken abuse, every bitter accusation, every hatred spat towards him, and he pushed through it to do the Father's will. But Jesus, I believe, struggled when he said, shall I not drink from the cup that my Father has given me? Not my will, but yours. The struggle, the battle, the spiritual pressure was at that moment. How many of us this week have struggled with God? How many of us have struggled with God in the past couple of weeks? Last week I preached on being betrayed, being backstabbed, and how this could happen to anybody at any time. And I was standing up here quite flippantly saying it. But guess what? I got backstabbed last week. I got betrayed last week at a professional level that really hurt me. And the irony is this week I'm speaking on struggling and submission. And guess what? I'm struggling with struggling this week. I have struggled this week to the point that my knees are raw from groveling and praying and trying to get some grip of the concept of what is taking place in my life. But I want to look at it from my human perspective. Because I'm weak, I'm a human. I'm not Jesus. I want to look at it, and I'm going to try and tie the two together, as I always try to do, from the point of view of Jacob. Now when Jacob, he's a man of struggles. A man in his life that knew what it was to have a never-ending battle. God had promised Jacob that through him he would be a great nation, he would be a whole company of nations, but he was a man full of anxieties and fears. He was a man that had family trouble far beyond our family trouble. He had a brother that he betrayed. He had his brother who wanted to kill him. Esau had vowed, if you look at it yourself in Genesis 34, he said that he wanted to kill him, his brother, for what he had done. All Jacob's struggles and fears were coming home to roost. He had done all these things along and he was getting away with it. But there was a day coming, an appointment where he had to face up to all the things that he had done. He had tried all he could to prevent his brother from killing him, or so he thought. He sent them gifts, sent out all the things that he had, tried to sweeten them up with the approach. But he was physically exhausted. He was a man alone in the desert, if you will, the wilderness, facing sure death. Nothing he had, nothing he could say was going to change what was going to happen. He was what I would call in a state of panic, desperation. Nowhere to go, no one to turn to. In fact, he was powerless to control what I would say was his own fate. And then he was by the river. He was on his own. This is where his struggle really begins. That night, the angel of the Lord came to Jacob. And he wrestled throughout the night with the angel until daybreak. And at that point, he was crippled in the hip. Disabled from that point onwards, walked with a limp. It was at that point Jacob knew what it was to know God, because he saw him face to face, and yet the God spared his life. And in the process, Jacob's name was changed from Jacob the deceiver to Israel, which means he struggles with God. And no matter what the battle, the struggle, whatever took place here, we read that God blessed him after the struggles. He struggled all night. He wrestled with him, and he would not let go at any point. You see, when you're getting beaten, when you've been beaten to a pulp, all you can do is hold on, because there's nothing left to give. And I often remember, and you maybe remember me doing this before, this is a different bit of the film, by the way, you get a different bit of it. No retreat, no surrender is the cry that we used to shout. And I used to really love the underdog coming back, you know, like in Rocky. When Rocky was getting beat by a pup, and he was down and out, and he was just about surviving, and Rocky came back, and he would win the battle. Or my favourite film, one of my favourite films of all time, Karate Kid. Now, we talked about polish on, polish off before. We're past all that. We're coming to the climax here, Karate Kid. And Ralph, old Ralph, had a hard time, right? And he was in this final competition. He was up against his enemy. And the enemy had done a dirty move, busted his leg. Mr. Miyagi had tried to fix his leg with a bit of that there, a bit of this, tried to fix it. Ralph was still struggling. It was the final moment of the fight. Ralph was facing his opponent. He was not going to give up. He was not going to cower down. He was going to look at him in the eyes. And he pulled off the best move of all time. It's the old crane, right? You've got to get ready for this. So as your man's like this. He knows he's hurt him. He knows he's down. He's gone. Ralph gets ready with the old crane. Right? Getting ready. The guy's coming at him. Oh, Ralph. Knocks him out. Straight across the face. Pull the hamstring. Straight across the face. He's out. But that was not a fluke. Whoa. That was not a fluke. He had practiced that move on the rocks. He was down at the beach every day practicing the move and feeling. But he practiced it and practiced it to the point when he needed it, he was able to do it and knock his enemy off his feet. We all have our struggles in life. We all have the difficult appointments to face. But we can't avoid them. We must struggle on, no matter what. And we can, and I would suggest, many of us have struggled in the last few weeks at some point in our Christian life. I am not saying that Jacob, like Jacob, we have to physically struggle with God. But we have to spiritually struggle sometimes. Have we not had the struggle with God over a major issue in our life, or a problem, or an illness, or something like that? And we turn to God and we say, why? God, I'm doing my Bible reading, I'm preaching every week, I'm serving you, I give testimony, I do all those things, and you bring this struggle into my life. Who do you think you are? I don't need any more struggles, right? I've got enough. I've had my head spinning round like a whirlwind this week. My heart's been in my mouth. And I have struggled and struggled. I say, God, why are you letting this happen to me? My struggle is the turmoil and the pain, trying to reason out the answer. But like Jacob, I am wrestling until I get an answer. I am not going to give up. I say, God, you want me to preach in this? You want me to be Jacob? I'm going to wrestle all week, and I'm not stopping until you give me the answer. Not only that, I want the blessing. And I have to quote a guy called Frederick Buchner, said this, I read a few things about this, and he said this about the struggle. He said, it's a magnificent defeat of the human soul at the hands of God. Jacob thought he had won. Jacob thought he was the one who had gained the blessing. He thought he was the victor. He was not the victor. Jacob confronts his failures, his weaknesses, his sins, all the hurt he had caused, because when he faces God face to face, he's not talking about the victory that he's having. It's all the things that he has done that he's facing God with. Jacob wrestled all night, exhausted and crippled. And it was only after he came to grips with God, ceased his struggling, and realized that he could go no further or no more without him. And then God blessed him. We learn from life with our struggles that we will have disappointments. We will have experiences of letdowns and griefs. But the big point for us today is that we can draw from Jacob and from Jesus is that we should never give up. Not at any point of the walk. Yes, the cross we talked about a few weeks ago may be getting heavier. The road may be running out. We may have our heads in our hands, but we should never give up. We have to battle the spiritual powers, principalities and powers. We have to battle things that seek to destroy us, the powers of hell that want to weaken us. You never submit. You never tap out. You continue to struggle on. To look back at Jesus, we see his preparation before the battle began. It was in prayer we talked about, in the place with his Father. He knew his Father intimately. There was no way Jesus was going to go forward from that point without being in prayer with his Father. What we learn from this and from the remarkable incident of Jacob is that our lives are never meant to be easy as Christians. This is especially true when we take upon ourselves to wrestle with God and his will for our lives. For the believers today, we know and we must understand that growth only comes through the experiences that involve struggles and pains. No pain, no gain. If you are not experiencing struggles, if you are not wrestling with God and his word, then dare I say it, there isn't much growth taking place in your life. You are what I would call a nominal Christian. I'm not saying that we go looking for a struggle. I'm not saying that serving God comes with all the difficulties and the trials that I'm talking about this morning. But you must be prepared to serve God. And in doing that, you will face opposition. You will have the struggles. Jacob's wrestling with God reminds us of this truth, that we fight, if we fight with God and his will for us, because we are fighting against the will, if we're fighting with God, we don't want the will that he's giving us, we want to fight against it. But if we're wrestling with God and fighting against the will that he has for us, and we're doing that, then he will turn that around for the very best for us. As believers in Christ, we may well struggle with him through the loneliness of night, but the blessing will come at the break of day. Jesus knew the struggle that lay up ahead. Well, so did Satan, actually. Jesus knew the struggle that lay up ahead for us and for Jacob, but he was never going to submit to Satan. I would rather hang than submit to Satan. And that's a pretty strong thing to say. But Jesus was never going to submit to Satan, but he was always going to submit to the Father's will. Today, this is a question I'm going to put to you. And Tari put this question a few years ago to the church. Are you willing to submit to the Father at whatever cost? But don't answer that too quickly. That is a question that is loaded. It cannot be answered with a mere yes. It's a call to obedience, to be submissive to the Father, and to serve even in the fiercest of trials. I answered that question 18 years ago. Wish I hadn't sometimes, when I was on a mountaintop with Taddy in Scotland. I'd never heard the question before. I was innocent. I was a young Christian. What was I to know? Taddy lured me up to the mountain. He took me to the highest point. We read some of the Bible. He made me feel happy. Made me feel comfortable. And then he said to me, are you prepared to serve Jesus at whatever cost? Listen to the question. Then a few days later, he took me on a car trip, actually I was driving, to another wee place. The same place, same question. Are you willing to serve Jesus at whatever cost? It was the second time that I decided to serve Jesus at whatever cost. I have paid the cost every time I preach. Every time I do something for God, I remember that question. I answered it I don't ever regret it. But the pain and the struggles, like Paul said, we're hard pushed on every side. If you're going to serve like Paul, you're going to have to be willing and prepared to be beaten, to have the pressures and the struggles. If you can't take it, don't say it and don't do it. Become a nominal Christian. Sit in your comfort zone. Come and listen to the sermon and go home. Don't think about it twice. But I want to say this. The blessings far outweigh the struggle. But we must, like Jesus, never submit to Satan. And never give up when the faces trials come to our door. I would rather live my life doing the will of God than ever once submit to Satan. This morning we want to be people in here, I hope, who want to serve God with all that we have and to serve Him every day. Now, don't get me wrong, we will let Him down, we will fall, we will stumble. The important thing is never give up and never submit. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for all that You've taught me this week, Lord, personally. And, you know, looking back now at the week and reading Your word and understanding what You've said to me, Lord, I understand that, Lord, to serve You is everything. To live my life for You is all that matters. And I ask You, Lord, I would continue to do that, and then we would all continue to serve You. Lord, we've got Jesus as the perfect example who would never submit to Satan, who would do Your will and fulfill Your will. And we thank You for that, Lord God, because without that we would not be here this morning. And I ask You, Lord God, that we would understand the cost of what it is to serve You. And help us, Lord, to serve You more fervently. Lord, I think about what Billy said in the Psalm 142. Lord God, it was so poignant this morning for me to read that again and just to remember what You did for us, the cost that You paid, and that You would never give up in the struggle. Lord, let us never give up in our struggles. Help us, Lord, to remember that we have one beside us who is stronger than the one who is against us. And Lord God, that You would bless us and keep us safe. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.